Welcome to another edition of Time for Forgiveness, the show that not only teaches you how to forgive, but also gives you compelling guests who share their stories on how they found the path to forgiveness. Now, please welcome your hosts. Here are Kelly and Bob Pascuzzi.
Well, hi there. It's another exciting episode of Time for Forgiveness, and we have a great show for you today. Today is about positively influencing people and how to try and master the art of forgiveness. With us today, we have a very special guest. I'm Sean Parr, and to introduce that special guest, we've got Bob, and this is Kelly Pascuzzi. Kelly?
Welcome, Jackie. I came across your story, which was a national story, and it touched me and moved me in so many ways. There's so many pieces to it, and I'm really excited for our audience to hear it from your viewpoint. But what, as a mother, just thinking about your birth mother making the decision to leave you, as you said, in the garbage, and then you carrying the weight of that and struggling with worth and identity. And it's such a powerful story of how you moved through that and came out with transformation. But there's people that will resonate with part of your story, but I think there's others that are going to resonate in another way. Sometimes we ourselves put ourselves in the garbage based on just our concepts that we hold of ourselves or what we've been told throughout our lives. And so I'm just really excited to dive in and hear your story.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly and Bob and Sean, for having me today. It's such a privilege and an honor to be able to share what God has been doing in my life. Mm-hmm. So I guess we can start from the beginning. Yes, I was an abandoned baby left to die in the garbage dump of Seoul, Korea, to the point that rats were eating on my naked little body.
Oh.
And a missionary nurse found me. That's the story I've been told my whole life, found me and took me to the local orphanage where they calculated my birthday. And from there, I became eligible for adoption. And in the meantime, the Lord was touching the hearts of a couple who lived in the Midwest, a little kind of near y'all, and they were in an hour south of Chicago. And they already had 5 biological kids of their own.
Wow.
But the Lord was touching their hearts to do more. My mom always told me that they felt they were very blessed and that they should do more. And so through a newspaper article, this was post-Korean War, they seen an article about all these abandoned orphaned babies who needed homes. And that's the article that the Lord used. And on November 22nd, 1963, my mom got a phone call. That was the day President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. And my mom got a phone call asking them if they would consider adoption. And I want to back up and say that I was the 4th baby that they had were asked to adopt. 3 previous times prior to that phone call, they were assigned 3 other baby girls, and every one of those baby girls died before they ever made it into their home. But on November 22nd, when my mom received the 4th phone call, I was the 4th baby girl. My mom's immediate response was no, because she did not feel, they didn't feel it was the Lord's will anymore that they adopt. So they said no. But clearly, God kept nudging their hearts. And at 8 months old, I flew into Chicago O'Hare International Airport.
Wow.
That is such an incredible journey just to get to that point. And I love your spirituality, number one, and the fact that it was God's plan to be there. It was God's plan every single step of the way. And you have talked a lot about that and accepted that even today.
Yes, I for sure see God's hand all over my story.
A powerful part of your story I was reading is there was a moment where you looked out of the airplane and said, if you are the God that I've heard of all my life, then I need you to make yourself real But you also followed up with that I will do whatever you've asked, which is pretty powerful. It wasn't I'll do some of it or I might do something. You said I'll do whatever that you ask. I thought that was so powerful, and it made me consider just how you were able to see him your entire path.
Well, at that point in my life, when I was on that plane ride, I was on a one-way plane trip to Fort Myers, Florida from Chicago. I felt like I was in one of the darkest times of my life. I was 22 years old, and I had grown up in a Christian home. My parents were very consistent about teaching me about the Lord, but I did not allow the Lord to come into my life. I rejected him. It was just something in my mind. It didn't become real to me until that plane ride. And when I became so desperate to say that prayer without even realizing how God would come in and make himself real to me, it was a game changer for my life. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God was faithful. He met me where I was at, mm-hmm. and he came into my heart and into my mind. And I didn't even realize what I was saying. But again, out of desperation, I said, God, you know, if you are real and, you know, if you're the God I've heard of my whole life, please, I begged him to come in, help me take over my life. And I would, you know, it was one of those promises. I'll do whatever. If you just help me, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll go wherever, I'll do whatever. And that was when my journey with the Lord began.
Wow. That's incredible. Jackie, up to that point, and understandably so, I read in the article that you had said that you felt like a throwaway and that you were struggling a lot with this, you know, your self-identity or self-image. And and that's understandable given even the fact that you grew up in a very supportive family and they loved you and there wasn't any question of that, correct? So they were there.
Correct.
They were giving you
correct.
The foundation you needed. But can you talk about that? Because I think that that's a common thread with a lot of youth today. You know, they've got good parents and they're trying to do their best and they have the right intentions, but yet the youth could be struggling.
Yes, my parents did everything they could to teach me in the ways of the Lord. I was in church. My dad made sure we had nightly devotionals after dinner every night. So to credit my parents, they loved me. They showed me unconditional love, exception. So my struggles with my identity and worth don't have anything to do with my parents as far as the way they treated me. They were very loving. And I struggled greatly with my identity and worth, mainly because I heard the story from as long as I can remember that I was thrown in the, you know, not thrown, but that I was abandoned in the garbage right. dump. And so, and again, people have asked, like, how could your parents have told that story in front of you? But my parents seeing the story as a huge blessing, a testimony from their perspective, it was a great thing, something God had done and blessed their lives with a baby. But from my perspective that was struggling with my identity and worth and didn't see it from that blessing side of the story, I did not see it as a good thing. I didn't see it as a blessing. I seen it with a lot of shame. Mm. I was so embarrassed of my story, but I never expressed to my parents. I never felt like I could talk about the way I felt because I didn't want to come across as ungrateful, but it was something that I secretly struggled with. And it wasn't until the Lord began working in my heart and in my mind through a whole series of different things and people that God placed in my life, that I really began to allowing God to come in and show me, confront me with those thoughts because I learned to hide them very deep, very deep in my mind. But as the Holy Spirit, I believe, began to bring them up, I was able to begin dealing with them. And God was able to begin bringing healing into my heart and my life. And so, yes, I believe today, especially in this world, there's a huge identity crisis happening. You don't have to be left in the garbage dump to wonder what my identity is, what my purpose in life is, why am I on this earth in the first place. I think that youth, even adults, we struggle with this. And so my heart is that people who hear this, people who read the story, understand that from little on, we can know our identity and our worth in Christ.
Yeah, you're amazing. And your story is so inspirational in the fact that I thought it was going to be, you know, a Cinderella story where your parents, you know, got you as a child and it was a miracle that you were found after that you were basically thrown away, as you said. But then to struggle, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Jackie, the struggle of your teen years, of your early 20s, of hearing that story over and over again, and then doubting your inner self and your self-worth and that struggle, because that kind of brought it full circle to people that are listening right now, and for yours truly as well, that you overcame that through this amazing intervention. I'll say it, divine intervention. When you're on an airplane, I'm going to get emotional talking about this because those two words are so powerful. Experiencing some divine intervention in my life, but watching you and hearing your divine intervention was truly inspirational. But what point did you now feel free to talk about it?
That's a great question. It's been a lifelong journey. The day on the airplane, it wasn't magical. It didn't change overnight. That was the beginning of my journey. And so over these last years, since that day on the airplane, God has been faithful and he has brought people into my life that he knew I needed to hear their wisdom that helped guide me along the way. And part of that healing process was the church, the local church. After I got into Fort Myers, I immediately plugged into a church, my sister and her husband's church, and I was introduced to the youth pastors there. And they're the ones who helped me in this healing process. They were in the beginning days that were able to help me in this process. And again, it wasn't just a one-time thing that happened. It wasn't just a one-time prayer or a one-time service. There were different people and places that God used, but the local church, my youth pastors, Pastor Tom and his former wife, Lori, were very key in helping me in the whole forgiveness process, in understanding that God knew me before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, according to Jeremiah 1, verse 5. And, you know, the word of God became real to me, but it was through my youth pastors at that point in my life that discipled me, mentored me, embraced me in the local church, and not just at church, in their home as well, and just helped me in this process of my identity and worth.
So powerful, Jackie. And, you know, so you begin this journey in Fort Myers, and I don't want to jump the story too much, but I know that part of your journey was acting on this faith, because you said that your new faith led to a dream. I believe it came to you in a dream where you had the premonition to write your own children's book. But like most people, fear, right, can enter in. And you put that on hold for a while, but you came to the understanding and the awareness that you needed to put your faith in action. And I think your husband sounded like gave you a little nudge, and just like my wife does for me sometimes. So can you talk a little bit about that, though? Because I know now you're helping so many children in your area, and I'd love for you to share with the audience this, the origin of that dream you had, and then how you transitioned it and took action, and you wrote your book and so forth.
Sure. Well, my husband and I are missionaries in Guatemala, and in one of the beginning years when we were back in Fort Myers, itinerating, visiting our partnering churches, I had a dream one night. And I'm the kind of person who does not remember my dreams. But for some reason, that morning I got up, my dream was so vivid. And I shared the dream with my husband. But I cannot tell you that I thought, oh, wow, this is a God dream. I didn't. I just thought it was a dream that I remembered. I found it very strange because I remembered so many details about it. But I shared with my husband, and we just kind of filed it. I filed it in the back of my mind. And I remember saying to him then, you know what? If this is a God dream, he's going to make it happen. He's going to help it, you know, to happen. And, I don't have to go out and start
Jackie, the dream was,
to make this happen.
Sorry to interrupt you. The dream was?
The dream was that I wrote a children's book.
Oh, you had written it. You had already written it.
That was the dream too.
No, I did not write this. This was almost 30 years ago. Okay. I had a dream that I wrote a children's book, and the dream was I seen the children's book. The title was Whose Am I? And it was all about my story. Mm-hmm. But that was almost 30 years ago. And I was not, I was in a very busy time of my life, our lives on the mission field, new on the mission field. During that time, we had 17 orphaned and abandoned teenagers throughout the first 8 years live with us. I was pregnant. We had our first baby, and we were also fostering a baby that my brother adopted. And so there was no time to write a book.
Holy cow, yeah. Nor
did I didn't even have a desire or knowledge how to write a book. It wasn't like it was, you know, that I was a writer. I've never been a writer. And so fast forward it, the dream was always in the back of my mind. But fast forward, God has opened the doors for me to share my testimony here and there, nothing major. And people have said, hey, you should write a book. You have a powerful testimony. Well, I didn't share about my dream. I just kept it quiet. But in 2019, my husband said, how are you ever going to know if this dream is a God's dream if you don't put your faith into action? And at that, I felt like that was a challenge. And I said, you know, you're right. And we're in a different season of our life. I sat down at the computer and I began writing my story out. So that was the beginning of the whole process of the book.
Wow. That's so awesome. You know, I can totally relate to your story, Jackie, because The Ravine, the novel that Kelly and I wrote, that chronicled our story and the tragedy that we went through, that idea came to me on a plane, not in a dream, but on a plane. And I had a premonition. And I knew that at that time, that was something we needed to undertake this idea. But to your point, no idea how to write a book, no idea what we were doing. We just said we're going to do it and started. It took almost 3 years. But we ended up with something far greater than I ever imagined. So I can really appreciate your story and sharing that. And there's so many listeners. I think our listeners, you know, God speaks to us in many different ways. Dreams, premonitions through other people, but those dreams can remain stillborn if we don't take action. And so, congratulations and kudos to you for taking action and getting your book done.
Well, thank you.
I do believe God places people, things in our lives to help us move forward. And I don't believe those are coincidence. And so I like that you said that you were aware that God had placed those people in your life. May I ask, when you had your first child, did it surface for you, maybe with your own mother? And did that lead to possibly considering forgiveness, or was it a person that God placed in your life to kind of move you in that space?
Well, there's a couple of questions in your statement. First of all, regarding when I had my first son, yes, I definitely reflected back on, wow, to experience childbirth and having the first baby, somebody that I could say I was blood related to, was huge in my life. So I did reflect back on that, but I didn't reflect back in a negative way. I just reflected back wondering how my birth mother, how the separation could have happened. And I almost I felt so bad, because I can't even imagine, you know, when I was holding my baby, wondering how that happened. But going to the forgiveness part of the story, I had already went through that forgiveness process. And back when I was a single, before I even got married, again, during a discipleship Bible study that both my husband and I were in when we were single, at our youth pastor's home, one of the chapters was about forgiveness. And I felt like the Lord brought to my mind that I needed to forgive my birth mom, because I don't know why, but I always blamed her. I always blamed her that, you know, she abandoned me in the garbage. But now that I'm a mom and understand the birth process, I doubt it was her, because I doubt she had a baby and got up an hour later and took me to a garbage dump.
Yeah.
So somebody else was probably involved. But at that time during the Bible study, I always blamed her. And I remember that night going and talking to my youth pastor's wife, Lori. They had also, their first son is an adopted, was an adopted baby. And I went and talked to her privately and I said, I don't know how you forgive somebody who I've never met. You know, I don't know anything about her, but I always blamed her. I feel like I have such unforgiveness, such anger in my heart towards her that she did this to me. And that night I was able to forgive my birth mom, and such a huge weight was taken off my shoulders. I feel like that was my first major experience of truly forgiving her, and just going to that really painful part of my story and being able to just let it go, forgive my birth mom, and begin to move on. So that happened before I ever got married, thank the Lord. So by the time I had our first baby, Caleb, I didn't feel like I had to go through that process. I felt more empathy, or just wondering how that could have ever happened, the separation.
Yeah, Jackie, I listened to your story, and when I hear you talking about what the forgiveness part of your mother, and you're right, thank God that you did that before you got married, before you had your first child. But when I think about that, I think, was that a sense of freedom for you? Because I could almost see you in your Bible study as you're telling that story, and you paint such a prolific picture when you're sitting there and you're talking to your youth pastor's wife, and you, is it Lori?
Lori,
yeah, yes. You and Lori are having that conversation. And once you decided to forgive, was that immediate freedom? Did you feel like something had just let go?
Absolutely. We went back because at that point, I never shared about my story. I was so ashamed of my story. Even after I feel like I gave God full permission to come into my life. Mm-hmm. I still didn't talk about my story because I was still very ashamed of my story. But that night, after we studied all about forgiveness, I went privately to Lori and said, I feel like God's telling me I need to forgive my birth mom. And so she took me back in the privacy. We were actually in her baby's nursery. And she was an adoptive mom. And I was talking to her about forgiving my birth mom because I blamed her for ending up in a garbage. I always said she threw me away. And when I went through that forgiveness process and she led me in a prayer and I prayed, but absolutely, I felt like a ton of bricks was just lifted off my shoulders. Mm. And it's just something supernatural that I believe happened. a divine experience from the Lord, that he took that huge weight from me. And yes, you use the word freedom. From that point on, I feel like I was able to walk in freedom. And honestly, from that point on, I don't feel like I have struggled with anger or unforgiveness towards my birth mom anymore.
Well, you talk about divine intervention. Yeah. As you're telling that story, I'm looking at the cast of characters and the set where you were when that happened in the nursery. Wow, I'm so glad you shared that, Jackie. Thank you so much. You're so inspirational in this entire story. And Bob, I know you want to go a little bit more.
No, I love the way you described it, Jackie, because it really is something, forgiveness is something we really do for ourselves. And and that freedom that it allows. We just completed a workbook and just loaded it up on our website this week. And it's allowing, that's what we have on the cover, give yourself the gift of the freedom of of forgiveness. And it's something that we choose, though. Do you, in your workings with people that you deal with every day in Guatemala, do you deal with people that come to you and ask you about this and are struggling with forgiveness or something in their life that they can't let go? Is that something that you are counseling on and directing people on today?
Well, I am not a certified counselor, or I'm not a psychologist, but as a person in ministry along with my husband, I think every person on this earth, at one time or another, goes through difficult situations that they have to forgive someone in their life. And so, yes, we face this, especially I'm working as a volunteer with Alianza Cristiana de los para los Huérfanos, which is Christian Alliance for the Orphans in Latin America.
Wow.
And I help lead a support group for adult adoptees. And this is a theme that is talked about often, about forgiving our birth parents. And so, yes, I believe that God is using my life, my story, to help challenge others to choose, like you said, to choose forgiveness, because we aren't hurting the other person. Half the time, they don't even know we're holding unforgiveness against them.
Exactly.
Right. We are choosing forgiveness for us. And I'm not saying that to sound self-centered, but, you know, God commands us to forgive, and because he forgave us. And so when I understood that in the Bible, and when I applied it and chose to forgive, even though I went to Lori and said, how do I even do that? And so I feel like how Lori ministered to me, I'm now able to help others in that forgiveness process, because I know how I began to walk in freedom and, you know, let go of that bitterness and anger and just self-pity in my life. I know what it did for my life, and I want to see others walk in that freedom and that forgiveness themselves.
You know, Jackie, you said earlier that there is a crisis today in youth in regards to maybe understanding their identity, trying to figure out, you know, who am I and my worth. But I think another crisis is also it's suppressing all that down and hiding it. Like we've been conditioned, you better just hide that. And so I'm just sitting here thinking about where your story started, what you had to go through, and how much growth, and some of it came from pain. But now it's come full circle, that now you're bringing awareness and education and healing to people that probably would think that I just need to be ashamed of this. And it's coming to the surface because of your story. It's very powerful.
Well, thank you. I believe my co-author, Aisha, and I fully believe that, you know, as the scripture talks about, that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And knowing the truth of our stories and not suppressing it, parents talking to their kids about the truth, or being able to have honest conversations with your kids, no matter what the age. Obviously, it has to be age appropriate. You know, I'm not talking about a toddler, but I'm talking about older children, middle school, high school age, that parents are able to talk to their kids about the truth of their stories, no matter how painful those details can be. As God opens the doors to be able to talk and have those conversations with their kids, that is helping them. It's not hurting them. As horrible as my story sounded, I am thankful that my parents always told me the truth. And even though I didn't feel like I could express how it made me feel, there did come a time that I was able to express it. And it did eventually come out. And like you were talking about suppressing it, if the parents or caretakers or family members are not honest with their adopted children or foster kids or just children in general, whatever the situation they're in, if they're not honest, how are those kids ever able to express or process the emotions of that pain? And so we fully believe that the truth is very important in talking about the truth and allowing these emotions, as negative as they seem, to come out. Because if they don't come out, they're going inward. And that's not doing anybody any good.
Yeah, the conversation needs to be started. You are such an inspiration, Jackie. And can you tell us a little bit about people that are listening right now that want to read your story and get your book? Can you tell us how to do that?
Well, our book is found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any bookstore platform. You can also go to whoseamibook.com, look us up. Aisha De Lopez is my co-author. I don't want to take all the credit. She has worked very hard in helping as well on the book. And she is the illustrator, is the one who brought this book to life through the pictures. And our heart's desire, our prayer, is that God would use this book as a resource to any adult who is looking to help have these honest conversations with their child in regards to their identity and their worth and their purpose in this life. And that Christ, we believe that Christ is the center, is the foundation of the healing process, and just where he wants the child, the reader, to understand that he's their heavenly father. He wants to be their heavenly father, and he's the one who can help in this whole healing process.
I love that. I love the forgiveness aspect of what we talked about today. I love the divine intervention, more importantly. I love that you challenged our heavenly father, and he said, okay, I got you. Jackie, you just hold on, girl. And you were on an airplane when you did that, so he showed who he really was, and we want to get everybody this book, and we want to tell a little bit more about your story. Jackie, do you mind reading that prayer, if you don't mind?
No, and here's the page. Talks about, and there's always a prayer at the end of each section, too. It says, Dear Heavenly Father, I am so thankful that you know every detail of my life and that all my days are already written in your book. Even though it may be hard, please help me to be brave and ask questions or express any feelings about my life to my parents or someone I trust. Amen.
Amen.
It should be followed with, whose am I?
Oh, well, I have to say, like, you are holding, now, as you're holding that book, like, that was an idea that was planted in you from God. And you were faithful. I mean, faithful. That's why that book is in your hands. That's beautiful.
Well, thank you. And I want to let you guys know, this is Darlie. And Darlie is my friend Aisha's adopted daughter.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, Darlie, this is a real story. This is not a made-up conversation. The story is about Darlie and I talking about our adoptions. Darlie is struggling with her adoption.
And how old is she? And
today, she's 16. She's still in the process. And I started hanging out with Darlie when she was a little girl. And there's pictures in the back of the book, real pictures. Here's Darlie and I.
Wow.
When she was a little girl, when we started hanging out. Here she's, 15. And the whole book is based on our real conversation, private conversation at my house about her adoption. And I'm sharing with her my struggles because she's struggling with the same things. And not only, like I said, do we bring out our earthly adoptions and our identity and worth, but we focus, the focus is on our heavenly adoption and our heavenly Father who loves us no matter what. And that every life matters, no matter how your life began, that your life matters to God. So you don't have to be adopted to read the book. And the book is for 6 to 10 year olds, but I have had adult adoptees and adult people read it and say, oh my gosh, it's a children's book, but the messages in this book is for any age group.
Well, it's really cool because part of your story, you said when you got to Chicago, you felt alone. Like you couldn't really, you didn't feel anyone could really relate to you and your story. And I feel like now you're looking at it like that was necessary. So now you can relate to her. That's really something.
Well, I do see now that God's using all my tears, all my questions, even though I don't have the answers to some of those questions. I don't know who took me and abandoned me. I don't know the whys, but it doesn't matter anymore. Right. It really doesn't matter. I truly have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I know that all the struggles that I had of not feeling like I fit in, of feeling like I was, well, I wasn't, I didn't feel, I was made fun of, feeling like I didn't fit in a very Caucasian upbringing, but God is using all of that. And I still don't blend in. You know, I'm in Guatemala.
I know.
I still don't blend in. And actually, there's a lot of Koreans here in Guatemala because they have factories. They are here in Guatemala because Guatemalan labor is cheap. And they have factories. So a lot of people think I'm a factory owner. And there's kind of, there's not good feelings between the Guatemalans and Koreans. Mm. And so it's very awkward at times because the Koreans will like greet me and bow to me thinking I'm one of them and I'm not. And so I have to be like, hola, hi, you know, like I don't speak Korean.
Right.
So it's just humorous how God is using my story to minister. And I, you know, I still don't fit in. I'm different, but it's okay. I see it as a blessing now.
Absolutely.
And I know how he's using my story to comfort others and to help lead them, like we've talked about, in forgiveness, because I can relate. I can identify with the pain like Darlie is walking through, of not understanding why she ended up in an orphanage and why, you know, where she was, how she ended up there and just the whole nine yards. But there's a lot of people in this world, like you brought out, that, you know, our lives might represent garbage. We might have gone through something very traumatic, very ugly, that brings trauma and horrible feelings and suffering to our lives. But the same principle, the same Heavenly Father wants to minister and bring us joy and peace and forgiveness, and where we can live an abundant life and help others.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And Jackie, you know, Time for Forgiveness is all born out of a tragedy that we experienced in our family. And we've been called to this ministry of forgiveness, and we have just set an intention on our website and now through the forgiveness journal that ends with a declaration of forgiveness. The final page is declaring forgiveness either for that individual's themselves or somebody else, and then going to the website and stating that forgiveness. And our mission is that we want to inspire people from every country in the world to forgive something or somebody. So thank you for being on with us from Guatemala.
And thank you.
And if you want to send people or a website, we would love it. It's timeforforgiveness.org. And the workbook is now available. It's free. They can just download it. There is an interactive link that takes them back to the website once they've declared forgiveness. But that is our mission in working with, you know, the same inspiration that you have is to help people through that journey. And we'd love to see people in Guatemala accessing the tools we have on the website now.
Is your workbook, well, I have a couple questions. I don't want to keep taking up your time, but I would love to hear your story or a bit of why you came to this podcast and to write your workbook. But is your workbook bilingual? Because our book is bilingual. I'm not sure if you know, but our book's bilingual too.
Okay.
For Spanish, English. Yes. Is your workbook in
Spanish?
You know Spanish?
What? It's going to be quickly.
It's going to be quickly, yes.
We know the right person to take care of that. And as soon as it's done, we'll let you know.
That's great. I'm glad you brought that up. I missed that.
Didn't even think about that. Yeah. That's so.
Yeah, we're talking about I'm talking about around the world. We've got to make it accessible.
Yeah, and so especially Spanish, English, they're the two very popular, most popular languages. So I just want to encourage you, if it's not
we're going to get that done right away.
Yes. That would be amazing.
We will.
But is there a place where I can listen to your testimony, or you give me a tidbit of what happened?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, Kelly, go ahead.
So my best friend since childhood, she was murdered along with one of her sons by her husband. And her husband was somebody that I knew, that I pretty much introduced them. And it obviously changed everything. I was in a very, very dark place for a very long time because it was the unexpected. So it was the journey of I was really trying to process it, but Bob really wanted to figure out how he got there. How would someone decide that this is like my only option? So it kind of started us on a journey. And then, you know, Bob had a download that we were being called to tell this story. And there was a lot of fear around telling the story of being judged and why would you want to do that? But we have felt a calling. And it's really interesting. You just said something that really hit me. I had to go through some of that so I could really see familiar pain in someone and be willing to talk about the hard things. And I think sadness and grief is very uncomfortable and hard for people. But we're hoping to bring awareness and healing through the power of forgiveness. So that's kind of a very, very, very short version. But there was a wise person that we, God, I believe, brought along our path to kind of help us move forward. And it was not coincidental. So I love the story that how you said God kind of places people when you think all your strength is gone. But we're really proud of the message from the film. And I think it's making a big impact in the world. Just bringing awareness of maybe what you could let go in your life.
The movie is very powerful. Jackie, it's called The Ravine. And there's a book to go along that they wrote as well. And both are so impactful. And, you know, there is a part of the book that you say there's inspiration here in how to forgive, you know. And if you can forgive, you know, go through the process of forgiveness with something that happened like that, wow, you can.
Or
you
that.
Or what you've been through with your birth mother, that's the path to forgiveness for somebody that's angry at somebody or holding resentment toward somebody really is nothing. That divine intervention is always going to be there. And it certainly, I feel like it's played a big part in both of your lives here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Well, Kelly, I'm so, so sorry about your friend and her son, and what an injustice, what a violent crisis that you and Bob had to walk through. I can't imagine. That is just a whole different level of just injustice and violence. And I'm so sorry that you had to live through that. But like you said, you've come to the realization that God's using your pain to help others in that journey. Because there's a lot of people out there who are in that same painful rut, deep, dark chapter of their lives. And it's exhausting, as we know. It's so exhausting. It's so overwhelming. The enemy wants to use it to take us out and, you know, not just, I can just feel those emotions. I can only imagine, but I am just so sorry that you had to live through it. But on the other hand, I'm so thankful to the Lord that you're on the other side and using it to, as somebody told me, give the devil a black eye.
No.
That something that he's thinking, he thought would take you out and destroy you, that God is using it to give the enemy a black eye for you to rise up and say, no, we're not going to stay quiet. We're going to use it for the good. Wow. And so, you know, I believe that's why we as the body of Christ, God connects us so we can encourage one another.
Yes.
That, you know, what we're doing is ultimately to bring him glory and honor, but to point people to him, because he is the reason we can breathe today, that we're not in that darkness anymore, that because of his light, we can shed light on these horrible feelings. And the book, when you get the book, there's an area that talks about the dark, the horrible feelings that I want to show you the picture. Just those feelings and how, what it does to you. And so it talks about, you know, those real raw emotions, like we were talking, and it's okay to go there.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm thankful that you guys are doing that. I wondered, cause I, you know, I looked you up and I believe I started following you on Instagram, but I wonder why this started. So I'm so thankful that you shared with me. Mm-hmm. I understand. I love understanding the history behind people's stories, because I believe everybody has a story to tell. And I'm just so sorry for your story, but I love how God's using your story now. So thank you for even taking time with me today. I feel so honored. This isn't normal for me. Trust me. I'm going to be 61 this year.
You literally look like you're 24. Oh my gosh. You look amazing.
You're being sweet. But I know it's time. I know I've kept quiet for a long time. And in the meantime, God was doing a work in my life. But I also hope that encourages people that it doesn't matter how old you are. God can still do a work and, you know, he can still use it for the good.
Well, my final wrap up question you somewhat, talked about, but I would like you just to maybe describe, you said the feeling of forgiveness. It was like the weight, the bricks falling off. Do you have a word for it in your life?
Yeah, I think you said it. Forgiveness is freedom. Oh. And it's healing. We're walking in freedom in God. The weight is off. And yeah, we're walking in freedom and pure joy.
Pure joy. Love that.
Love it. Jackie, thank you so much. We just loved having you on today, and we know this is going to be such an amazing story that we can't wait to get on.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again, Jackie.
Wow, what an exciting episode. Thank you so much for listening and for watching Time for Forgiveness. Hey, listen, visit our website at timeforforgiveness.org. And here's the great news. You can now download our workbook. Just click on the QR code. It's that simple. You can also message us on our website because we read every single message, and we certainly love to help. You can also reach us on our socials on Instagram and Facebook, and you can email us again at info@timeforforgiveness.org. I'm Sean Parr for Bob and Kelly Pascuzzi. We'll see you next time on Time for Forgiveness.